Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to the Coaching Coordinator Podcast. Today, I'm joined by a repeat performer here, but a guy I'd really like to talk ball with, the head football coach at St. Charles North in Illinois, Rob Pomazak. Rob, it's great to have you back again.
Thanks, Keith. Always a pleasure to spend some time with you.
And for those of you who aren't aware, Rob does a great series for us on blogs.usafootball.com, and actually today is based on two of his articles, but I wanted to make sure those of you who aren't in front of a screen reading articles heard some of this stuff because it's really good. But Rob's general theme is building a program by design, and he goes through every aspect in detail. In fact, he had to cut this article into two because it was so in-depth. So Rob, appreciate all the work you're doing, and I want to get right into it today. We talked with Andy Ryland when the season wrapped up on our deliberate practice series about breaking down the past season, and I gave it an offensive standpoint. We talked about a lot of different things, but today you kind of have something that's very organized and a way of looking at this. So I guess tell us first, how did you come up with all of this?
Well, I mean, in short, it's just what we use at our school to kind of get our end of our, you know, end of the year defensive evaluation, almost like a defensive audit. We needed an organized way to kind of get consistent data from a year in and year out basis on what we're doing as a defense, and, you know, answer the critical questions of, you know, does what we're calling through the course of the season mirror what our practices are asking of our players? Did we run what we practiced, or as the game evolved or as the season evolved, did we turn into a defense that maybe we had planned to be or not planned to be? And then, you know, moving away from it as we move into the prep for the next season, we take a look at where our strengths were and things that really went well and things that we need to develop. But we needed a way that we could, first of all, systematize it and then delegate it to our staff so that it's not such a daunting task. Like when I was writing the article, you know, it just kind of kept snowballing and snowballing, and it was like 15 pages long, and I'm like, oh my God, they're never going to want to read this because it can get so in depth. But I think at the very foundation of it, if you take just some of the key points, you can really apply it to your defense and maybe even turn it into an offensive system. But, you know, a lot of what I got from Dave Aranda when he was at Wisconsin. You know, his system of developing a game plan was something that I just found so fascinating and almost easy, user-friendly, and this has been what we've done at our school, and it's really kind of given us some great information, but just even more just great talking points on reflecting on what we did and then moving into the next season. So I hope people enjoy it.
Yeah, when you look back at a season, you have, you know, 600 to 700 or more snaps to evaluate, to look at, you know, with all 11 positions, looking at the different schemes, looking at the different things the offense is trying to do. It can be a daunting task. So really do appreciate the fact that, as you said, you've systematized this to keep it simple, to know what the framework is and how you're going to work within it. And so you start this off with what you call an interrogation, right? You're going to interrogate defense, and you liken that to, you know, a suspect being interrogated under the lights.
Yeah. I mean, so we have all this, you know, you have this body of work from your season, good, bad, or indifferent. And, you know, you have to find out the reason why you were successful or the reason why maybe you didn't reach the potential that you wanted to reach. And I truly think that the answer is somewhere in all of those clips, you know, and we have to kind of break it down, dissect it, and really look at every single piece of evidence, almost compartmentalized, to see if there's some areas that really stood out, and then connect the dots and see if it's a teaching issue, if it's a philosophy issue, or maybe it was something that the offenses saw that you were consistently doing that created an opportunity for them to be successful. So we kind of broke it down to a couple of questions, and, you know, does what we call mirror our practice scripts? Does it mirror our installation schedule? One of the big ones for us is what you see on a Friday night, is it being practiced? You know, if you spend 5 minutes on on an odd front, Oki front, and all of a sudden you're running it for 40 defensive plays, then that clearly isn't an apples-to-apples practice-to-game experience for the kids. So we have to take that into consideration. And then we finally look at, like, what do we need to, like, emphasize again as we move throughout the offseason and into the summer? And then maybe what are some edits for the coming season? You know, what did we think we were going to call that we just didn't, so that we don't spend that valuable time that we all know is so limited developing stuff that we're just not going to run? I mean, we would love to have these really elaborate defenses, but in reality, you know, you're going to stick to what you do really well, and you got to find out what that is.
And we're in a phase of the year right now where the tendency is to bring back more, right? We're going to go out and we're going to see all these cool things that people do at clinics, online, et cetera. But we have to figure out how that fits into what we're doing. And if we're going to put something in, most likely we're going to have to take something out. And it's all really, like you said, it's about the return on investment. So what are you investing your time in, and what are you getting out of it on game day?
Correct. I mean, you know, what we look at is we break it into two categories just to start. So we'll look at the scheme aspect of things, and then we'll look at the tactical and technical aspect of things, which is really more the finer points. But from the scheme aspect, the first thing we're going to look at is just an offensive scout analysis. You know, what did the team from week 1 through 9 or 1 through 14, what did they run compared to the game plan that we put in place? Oftentimes, especially in the season, you're so caught up in the next game that at least we don't get the opportunity to reflect on the game plan and what actually happened in the game. And it's always fun to see, you know, was the game plan in line with what the offense did against you? Or maybe did they have a wrinkle that they took advantage of your defense, or were you successful against something that really you didn't prepare for? We'll look at fronts. We'll look at blitz evaluation. We'll break it into run and pass evaluation based on scheme, you know, field position, hash, down and distance success, whether you win or lost the down. I can get into that later. And then we kind of look at those, you know, those finer points of red zone, 2 minute. And then this year we added, just based off of your podcast that I listened to, was the all important middle eight. It's just so important. I think it was Lombardi that you were talking to. I believe it's Mike Lombardi. And you guys were talking about the middle eight, and it just kind of a bell went off in my head that this is such a important part of the game that often goes overlooked. And so we place a real high importance on it, and we're definitely going to take a look at it from a scheme standpoint on our success during that crucial last 4 minutes of the first half and first four of the second half.
And so, Coach, you've looked at each of these sections and break it down. And I think, you know, we have all the detail of this that Coach shared it with us, some outstanding articles, so we'll be sure to link those in the show notes. But I think what would be valuable is to talk about the key questions that you have in each area and kind of give an overview of the different things you're looking for, what you've found out, maybe some examples of that over time.
Absolutely. Well, for offensive scout analysis, the first thing, like I said, is our game plan accurate? Just getting printing off the game plan and having it in front of you, and then looking at the complete data and body of work of that week, and seeing if the coverages, personnel packages you plan for, and the formations you plan for were exactly what you saw. Some things that I noticed was that teams were able to take advantage of us with back out of the backfield when we were in an odd front, because that was a back-on-backer situation, and that always created a little bit of issues. What aspects were we well prepared for? We look at that based off the success of formation, personnel, and then even down in distance. You know, we place a high priority, like everybody does, on third down, but we also place a real high importance on first and second. So we want to look at that and see where our calls were sound and the success rates that we had. And what did they do, the opponent, that maybe we weren't that prepared for? And a situation, whether it was a coverage or communication, and not just seeing those plays from a standpoint of were we successful from a gains and loss standpoint, but why? You know, kind of digging deeper and looking and seeing exactly why weren't we successful. And that's when you can really start to get into like the technical or tactical aspect, or even the cognition of your defense. And we take that and we just jot it down. And through a course of 9 weeks or 14 weeks, you kind of look and see what the commonalities are. And then that kind of formulates the story of your defense from the standpoint of game plan, you know, from a Monday through Thursday game plan to, you know, when you're in the frying pan on a Friday night.
I think that's interesting. It's something I've talked about to, you know, our first group of guests on Deep Dive on Defense is, you know, what kind of adjustments did you have to make over the course of the year? And all of them talked about, you know, teams, because of what they do or what they were successful with, and all these guys were successful, there were certain areas it seemed like teams tried to attack them, and they saw some commonalities maybe over the course of the season that at least is this is where people are trying to attack. And if you start to see those patterns, you can start to ask questions about what do they see here? What's the weakness they feel? Is this a personnel weakness? Were they going after a certain player? Is there something with the scheme that they think is a weakness here? And, you know, ultimately, I think those are good things. Even if you shut that down, maybe you shut it down with a good player, as an example, that might be a place where teams might go next year, and you want to have some answers and maybe a package developed for that.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It can be a personnel issue. It could be a coverage issue or a front issue, even a strength issue. Like, there's so many, you know how it is on defense, there's so many variables that can go right or wrong depending on the situation and the call being made. But, you know, even trade shifts and motions, those types of things that might get you from one coverage to another, if you're running a split coverage scheme or one front to another, just kind of seeing where those gaps are. It's just great to identify them so that at least you're aware of it and cognizant of it, as opposed to just kind of hammering a square peg into a round hole and getting the same results.
So the next section you look at is the front. So you do a front analysis, and it is pretty straightforward and simple, but again, key questions here for you.
Yeah, I mean, with the front analysis and coverage and blitz, it's really, you know, first of all, what did we run? You know, we just categorize it between even, odd, and okie, because that's our defense, but you can call it however you want. And we're going to see how effective each front was from a gains and losses, from a run gain average, a pass gain average, TDs, tackles for losses, just kind of seeing, you know, how effective and efficient was that particular front, the percentage of what we used it, does that front usage, because does it reflect your philosophy? If you say that you want to be, a 50-odd front for the majority of the time, and eventually you look at your numbers and you're running an even front for, you know, 70% of the plays, well, then that's something that I would believe doesn't really reflect what your defensive philosophy is, and the offense is now dictating what you're doing. And then looking back at practice scripts, how much are we preparing our kids from a front standpoint, and is it being utilized during the game? I mean, for us, there are situations where we may get into a three-man front, and we want to be able to make sure that that's being applied in practice if it showed up in the game. I mean, I know it's after the fact, but at least you can start to prepare that and increase your, you know, when you're creating your practice plans, change things up a little bit and make sure that shows up a little bit more in the summer and then throughout the fall.
So then you look at blitzes and do an evaluation of blitzes. Again, none of these are mind-blowing, but you have this systematized and you do it in a certain way.
Yeah, I mean, it's not reinventing the wheel by any stretch of the imagination. We're just going to look at our blitz game, but the things that we really kind of look for, from my standpoint, is blitz effectiveness, down and distance and situation. I also really like field zone. You know, what are we calling our blitzes from the boundary primarily? Are we ever, you know, or are we a field blitz team? Those things can be telltale. If you get, you know, you start getting into our tendencies, you want to be able to identify that. And then I always like the technique, you know, looking, I think blitzing is great. Bringing pressures is great, but you also have to teach the technique. So when you're able to kind of break that down, we'll make teach tapes on good blitzes and bad blitz technique so that our kids can be able to learn from it. I always find it valuable when our kids see our kids doing things as opposed to me resourcing it from an all-22 video of an NFL game, because we're not NFL football players, and I don't, you know, I want our kids to be able to see us doing things in a you know, very applicable real world way from a high school standpoint. And then, you know, efficiency, if we're going to call a blitz, you know, anytime you bring pressure, you're probably giving something up in coverage. We want to make sure that it's effective and efficient. If it's not, then we have to kind of change what our philosophy might be.
I know that's something we talked with Grant Caserta about, who will be on our deep dive on defense this week, is exactly that. Like, when he was at Husson, he liked to use a lot of six-man pressures, but when he went back and looked at the effectiveness of that and what they had to do behind it, you know, really wasn't his favorite thing, and he moved away from it. And I would say this, you know, as you're looking at all these things, and you have down and distance and field zone in here, you know, you have definitely a profile as the defensive play caller of things you're going to do. And, you know, I was the GA here for our local high school team this year and looked at a lot of what the opponent was doing. And I would be able to zone in on exactly how does this coach think? What is his thought process here? What is he going to do? And then, you know, most of those would still, they would hold up during the game. There was one team that was really good at understanding their own tendencies, I believe. And, you know, so you knew they were going to break it up, but everybody else held true to form. And, you know, that is really giving away an advantage. If the other team, by doing a good study on you, understands who you are and what you're going to do and what you're going to do in certain field zones. I mean, I would get it in some games down to the exact yard line of here's where they start blitzing and here's where they get out and here's their philosophy in each of these areas. So understanding that yourself is very important, because going into the next season, you could be very cognizant of what you do and maybe look for some tendency breakers.
Yeah, I mean, whether you're an offensive coordinator or a defensive coordinator, you're going to have your own fingerprint. And that usually doesn't change, because you're going to find what you're comfortable with and you're going to do that, you know. And, I mean, just kind of going back to what you said, there were certain situations from a field zone standpoint, particularly, you know, if the ball crossed the 50, plus 50 to plus 20, where, you know, you can almost guarantee we were bringing a boundary pressure. And you kind of start to look at, okay, well, why are we doing this? Was it a formation situation, or were we just getting more aggressive because our back's against the wall? And a good offense is going to look at the same thing, and they're going to prepare for it just the same way that you're trying to defend against it. So I think if you're not looking at it, you're not getting a complete picture of your defense from a holistic standpoint. And then you can kind of connect the dots as to, if I'm calling a six-man pressure and I'm running a zero behind it, then is that the best coverage for our guys? Do we have that type of athlete that we can do that? And then you can really start to look at how you're going to formulate your defensive philosophy.
Coach, the next section then is coverage. And again, just five questions you're looking at here. Give us an overview of what you want to flesh out.
Well, this is probably, you know, as a defensive backs coach, is probably my favorite to look at, because it's so telltale. But we'll look at how effective each call was. Average yards per call, like gains or loss. Looking at touchdowns, obviously the point of the game is not to let the other team score. So there are certain coverages that if you look and it's your percentage of touchdowns is kind of skewed, then you got to look at why that is. And then tackles for losses. But more importantly for us, it's, again, is the coverage we're using something that we're practicing, and is the time being allotted in practice equitable to how much we're using it? And then how effective is that coverage? I mean, it's great to have 10 coverages within your scheme, but if you're only running one 3% of the time out of a 600 rep season, then does it warrant the development within your program, or can you get that another way? And can you spend that time on one of your major coverages and really honing in on some of the deficits? You know, we're a quarters-based coverage team, and I would much rather spend that time developing that scheme so that we are able to cover all the green areas much more efficiently, and maybe adding a wrinkle to it that doesn't change the foundation of what we're doing, but certainly gives us a little bit different of a look than having a completely different coverage. So that's always really important for us. And then just kind of looking at the zone percentage, man percentage, and then obviously the down and distance, were we successful? You know, were we successful in the pass game on that coverage call? And why or why not? Is it an issue of communication? Is it a route issue? You know, our team's taking advantage of our shell based off of what they see pre-snap and taking advantage with a specific route combination. All of those things kind of get intertwined with each other. And then you look at, you know, what's going to keep us in the best position to be successful. And we'll also look at offensive personnel groups and formations, particularly, you know, against those upper echelon opponents who maybe do a lot of motion formations and kind of can compromise your defense by, you know, stretching you fairly thin, you know, horizontally and vertically, and kind of see how maybe you can start game planning against that for the coming years. Because most of the time, just like you said, defenses have you know, their tendencies. Offenses, if they have success, they're probably going to come in with that being a number one on the game plan list as they move into the next season against you.
A couple things I thought of as you were talking about this one, and it actually led me back to another thought on the blitzes. So I'll ask you both of these questions. When you are looking at your odd fronts, your Oki fronts, 3-4, do you pay attention to the percentage that you're sending each of those linebackers? Because I know from a game plan perspective, we did this at the college level, and you know, it worked and it held true. Again, just looking at what we were doing, you know, at the high school level this year, is we usually would find a way to sort that protection and leave a guy out because they never blitz them. And I know part of it is keeping leverage or utilizing that guy a certain way. But I think, again, it becomes one of those things. If you are very static in it, you don't do something to break tendency, I'm at an advantage that I can go into that week not worrying about a particular guy in the sort. And again, I put my offensive line in a position to be able to pick up everything.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think when we're running, you know, in our particular Oki package, we're going to have a few. It's primarily against empty and maybe some down and distance situations that we feel are high pass tendency. So we're going to have a menu of pressures that we can go with. But we're always going to try to be very aware of, you know, who's blitzing and what part of the field we're going to, you know, what is the team we're playing like to take advantage of if they see that type of front, you know, and that particular coverage behind it. So, I mean, we'll try to keep track of all of that as best we can.
And then on the coverage side, this wasn't one of your questions, but I know, again, something I've always looked for in breaking down coverages were basically your tells, right? I wanted to see what is the indicator on what coverage you're going to end up in. And, you know, a lot of times I've talked about this before and given some examples on here, you know, it's for a lot of teams, it's the boundary safety right now, but regardless, a lot of times it was just his relationship to the hash mark. And we'd find, you know, a guy, maybe if he's going to play half over top, he's cheated out 2 yards. If he's going to roll the middle, he might be cheated in a little bit, but you know, that's a pretty easy thing for a quarterback to look at and understand both what coverage he's going to be seeing as well as where pressure is going to come from. So do you look at that at all in your breakdown as either by design or by maybe what your players did that you had some tells to your coverages?
Yeah, absolutely. That'll go into the breaking down the technique of a particular coverage, you know, relation to the hash, cornerback alignment, a linebacker alignment, all of that stuff is where we're going to really try to hone in on. And, you know, the two trains of thought is either you can show the same shell every single play, and then you can move at post snap, or you can be kind of a movement based secondary and, you know, show too high, then rotate down to a single high. And, you know, that's going to be kind of moving in for us, particularly for next season, is where we're going to spend a lot of time is just kind of getting those alignments and not giving away a tell of what we're doing prior to the snap. Because I think, you know, certain kids, they don't even realize they're doing it, but even where their eyes are sometimes is something that we'll focus on just based off of if my Mike linebacker's got to drop to 3 in a 3-by-1 and I see where, that his alignment or his eyes are kind of cheating over to 3, that can really kind of put us in a disadvantage. So all of that is something that we have to take into consideration. I mean, now you get really into the minutiae of everything, but we would kind of take that into more of a positional breakdown where my positional coaches have to kind of look at that. Once we get the coverages, once we get the fronts done and blitzes, I guess it kind of goes from like broad strokes to finite strokes. And that's kind of what they need. Like, that's what I'll delegate to them is, okay, here's what you need to look at as you know, position and alignment from the standpoint of it. It always has to be consistent and we can't be showing anything pre-snap.
So I'm going to pause right there because we've already bitten off a big chunk here as we've looked at a breakdown of front analysis, coverage, and blitzes. We're going to go into some different sections here in a minute, but how do you delegate this? How is this assigned to coaches? And I guess what's the time frame for this first part here?
Well, that's probably the most important thing for us is as soon as the season ends, whenever that's going to be, we're going to start, you know, we'll tag all of our games as the season goes. So then once we get done, we'll take a little bit of a break after the season ends so that everybody can kind of, you know, get that juice back for, for the upcoming season. And then I'll just create, I have it all on a Google sheet, and every different coach is going to have a different tab or a different sheet that's going to have their breakdown expectations. And we really try to align it with what their game planning assignment is. So if my defensive line coach is in charge of the run game and he's going to be tagging front, he's going to be tagging formation and run game, then he's going to be looking at that aspect of the defensive end of year analysis. The secondary is going to take care of coverage. The linebackers coach will then kind of work some down and distance situations and the blitz game. And then so that everybody will go, and it's all on huddle, you know, so we'll create specific categories so that they can just have their name and they can click their name and then data entry. And then once we get all the data entered, we start making reports. And then once the reports get done, which is like right about now, actually in February, like the end of January, the end of, you know, quarter one of the off season, our goal is to hit quarter two, which starts in early, you know, the end of February, early March with our spring meetings. And so we will take all of this and schedule bi-monthly meetings. And we're going to take a look at the data from each specific point so that we don't go into a meeting and have a, you know, the 6-hour marathon. It's going to be an hour meeting. And we're going to look at, you know, we're going to look at coverages. We're going to look at the blitz eval. We're going to look at the front eval. And we're not going to talk about anything but that, so that it kind of keeps everything on point. We don't get derailed and the meeting doesn't get hijacked by something else. Because, you know, it's like you get a bunch of defensive guys in a room and the next thing you know, it's like who has the pen last? And it's just you wasted 2 hours. So, you know, we're going to try to do this timely and get all this data in about 2 months. And then we're going to go and we're going to start really dissecting it for the next 4 to 5 months up until we hit our June camp. And then by that point, we should have summer installs. We should have our, you know, all of our scheme PowerPoints and cut-ups and teach tapes. Everything should be done. So in the next 2 to 3 months, that's kind of the bulk of when all this is taking place.
And so from there, then you're going to look at run and pass. You want to know what was effective against you as well as what you were very effective stopping. And I'm sure then, you know, it's not just what was effective or what were we good at stopping. It's the why behind it as well.
Yeah. You know, so what I'm looking at from a run game standpoint is I want to break it down by scheme. So we'll just do a gap zone and we'll do gap zone power and RPO. Just very vanilla. You know, that way we'll tag the play call, but then we'll make a separate column for scheme. So that way we can just sort them out a little bit easier. And when you run your report, it'll give you a nice good percentage based off of that. And then we'll look at explosive plays. For us in the run game, it's going to be anything over 10 yards. In the pass game, it's going to be anything over 20 yards. And then we'll also look at plays under 3 so that we can see, you know, get good cut-ups of when we're successful and why. We'll look at touchdowns, you know, see why where the breakdown was in the run game. And we'll also look at busts, what we call a bust in the pass game. You know, maybe it was a coverage miscommunication or a read miscommunication or something that happened that just clearly was a broken coverage for us. And so we'll break that all down. In the pass game, we'll look at pocket and quick game. We'll look at a rollout package, play action, RPO, and then we'll also do any type of, you know, running back tag. Because you can, you know, even in the Super Bowl yesterday, you know, every single play, you got Kansas City tagging the running back out of the backfield, and that's becoming more prevalent in the high school game as well. So that's an easy way for an offense to attack a very sound defense if you've got a special athlete back there. So that's something that we've added this year. And, you know, we're going to look at all that and we're going to break it down and just kind of get the averages of success based off of the scheme and see where we were really sound at and see where maybe we need to work on. You know, gap schemes are always difficult. You know, when you get an extra hat to the point of attack, you've got to be able to account for it. And we have to see if there were specific reasons why we didn't do that. So, you know, it's labor intensive, but if you break, you know, my D-line coach will take care of the run game. Secondary will take care of the pass game. And, you know, when we bring it all together, it makes a ton of sense.
And so from there, then you start to refine. So you look at down and distance.
Correct. Yeah. The down and distance is, you know, I don't think this is anything new, but we'll just, regardless of run or pass, you know, first down is going to be a gain. I have five or more, but really it's a gain of three or more. We'll consider that a loss. Second down is going to be, did they get half of what they needed for a win or for a loss? And when I say win or a loss, that's just an easy way for us to tag if we were successful in the call. Third down is, did they get the first down? And fourth down is, did they convert it? And we'll use that little scenario for practice too when we're doing situations. A very easy way to keep track and quantify a practice and make it competitive for the kids and give them points for when they're successful and not. And they really have grown to understand that. Like if our kids were asked to you know, what's a win on second down, they would be able to tell you, is like, did they get half of what they needed to get? So we'll make cut-ups of that. We'll break that down by run and pass. And then we'll look at why we were successful and maybe why we weren't successful. And I think, you know, as a D coordinator, sometimes it's so easy to look at the negative, but we want to really look at the reasons why we won certain downs and find those commonalities and find those consistencies just as much as the reasons why we maybe lost a down or a down, because it's important for us to show our kids that what we're doing works and what we do has value and it's good. And so we want to be able to kind of, hey, listen, you know, our third down efficiency, we were at 69% this year. That's excellent, you know, but here's why we lost that third, you know, that 31%, you know, and if we can fix this, then we're going to be, you know, a top tier defense. So it's a great conversation point, because at the end of the day, I think the intricacies of the data is great for the coaches, but man, just talking down and distance with kids, that's what they'll understand and gravitate to, because that's what they see, you know, on Friday night.
Definitely. And then the next section is really the situational application. And as you mentioned to this, you also added the middle eight. So first of all, give us just an overview of what you're looking for, how you're breaking down red zone in 2 minute. And then we'll talk here about the middle eight a little bit.
You know, red zone is anything. I'll include 25 and in. We're going to do a down and distance win versus losses. We're going to look for explosive plays, both at the run and the pass game. And then we're going to take a look at what fronts, our front percentage, our blitz game, our coverages, and then also the personnel. I mean, and for us, that's really, you know, the big thing is seeing what the offenses did against us in the red zone. Because I think when an offense is preparing for you, they're going to look exactly at what other teams are doing and have success with in the red zone. And then more importantly, from the 10 and in, and they might try to emulate that from within their offensive scheme. And that allows us to really prepare a little bit better so that we can kind of see where our strengths and our deficits were. And then 2 minute is going to be no different from a formation, play selection, coverage, and how that married up. And then we look at the middle 8 minutes, you know, again, from your podcast, the last 4 minutes of the first half to the first 4 minutes of the second half, and kind of looking at more holistically as, you know, were we successful in keeping them out of the end zone? Just bend but don't break. Just very plain and simple. Did we give up points? And if so, why? And then coming out of a half, how did we respond in the opening possession? The goal is to be three and out. And if it's not three and out, it's going to be a change of possession and getting those numbers. And just really just a broad stroke at the success rate and then the point differentials in those middle eight.
How much do you feel your opponents are looking at the middle eight right now? I know if you talk NFL, everybody's looking at the middle eight. College, it's definitely caught on. How much at the high school level do you think coaches are thinking about that?
Probably not enough. I mean, if I was a, you know, I am a high school coach, it's just the first, it's really a great place to start with when you look at the record and taking a look at the losses and seeing what happened in those middle eight and seeing where the situation of the game was. And what happened in those last four and the first four, because I can guarantee you that something happened within those 8 minutes that tilted the game in one way, shape or form. And it could have been a score with under 2 minutes left or a opening drive score coming out of the half or an opening drive turnover that put them on a short field that culminated in points. It's so important from just looking at the game. If I'm going to watch any part of the game, I'd want to watch that middle part just to see how we were towards that middle half after some adjustments had been made, and then coming out of the half to see when more adjustments have been made and how did we adjust to what they did, because that's going into coaching now and trying to take a look at, can our players take a concept at halftime and apply it successfully to that second half? And, you know, we'll take notes on our halftime adjustments just to go back and reflect upon that, because you're going to forget. Like, you know, you forget what you tell the kids sometimes, and I'll have a coach who'll jot down our halftime adjustments so that I can look at the game and know, okay, how do we play, you know, trips, or how do we play, you know, a pro set going into the second half? Were we going to focus on a different front or a different call? Did we change the strength and see if the kids were able to execute it? Because you can look, and unfortunately, sometimes you look and you see the adjustments you made were not executed coming out of the gate.
Well, that kind of leads into this next part here, which is after you look at all of those things, you're going to start looking at more of the technical and tactical side of things. You're going to look at technique.
Yeah, this is the technique, you know, the technique part of it. One bleeds into another, but we can't just, we want to separate the two, because I strictly want to look at player by player technique, you know, and see if it's the technique that's being taught from a coverage standpoint, from a front standpoint, from a positional standpoint, so that, you know, how are we going to take on a pull? How are we going to take on an ISO block? What's my footwork going to be out of our quarters coverage, as opposed to out of our, you know, our cover two? What's my man press coverage, you know, my goal line coverage? I want to be able to look at those technical points and be able to assess if what we're teaching is consistent, so that we can start to look at, okay, we have to work on this, this, and this as we move into the summer. And a lot of it goes back to, we have to clearly define what this is. We have to use a universal term, you know, creating that program vocabulary, so that everybody speaks the same language from the varsity level down to the freshman level. So a lot of the technique is, it's more than just did they execute it. It's, are they executing that? You know, you could have a tackle for a loss and just be a good athlete, but are we using the technique that we've taught you? You know, from a defensive standpoint, is our block destruction technique paying off? You know, if my 5'6", you know, 130-pound corner can't use a snag technique, then I'm not going to be teaching him that. And was that even an effective technique for us in general from a block destruction standpoint? So we'll look at that and evaluate that, so that we can effectively become a better teachers and a better defense to the next season. And is there a better technique for us to be utilizing that maybe we haven't? And then tackling, you know, it just goes hand in hand with what USA Football has done. We adopted the, you know, the five fights tackling system, and that just revolutionized what we do from a tackling standpoint. And we've tried to apply that same methodology of breaking things down into skill sets and fights, so to speak, so that we can look at the finer points, you know, and really dive into the technical aspect. And I still don't think we're doing it at a high enough rate. You know, I have a tackling coach. I am the takeaway coach. But each positional coach, you know, they're the head coach of that position. So they're in charge of the technique, creating their vocabulary, creating the techniques that they want to use from the varsity on down level. And so we'll evaluate that, and we'll create teach tapes of it. And we'll show our, like right now in the month of February through spring, one day a week, we're going to be in the film room, and it's really just by position. And we'll just focus on one technique to not, you know, flood the kids with information, but, you know, just try to show them the techniques that we want. What does it look like successfully? What does it look like when it's not? And what does it look like more particularly to you during a game, you know? So, I mean, that's very important to us, I think. And I think what you guys did at USA Football was completely change the game as far as what we as coaches felt like we could do. You know, sometimes you feel like you're, as a head coach, you're crazy for investing so much time into everything. And then you see people who are investing even more time, but making it efficient. And that's kind of where the light bulb went off for us into creating a tactical situation and technical situation where we can do that.
Yeah, and I think that's really what's behind the Five Fights philosophy and the system that we put together. I can tell you we have, like, I think 22 more videos coming out. I was just finished up reviewing those today. Those will be going into our system. I know you'll be excited to see those. And for our listeners out there, still not too late to register for our national conference. Anybody attending our national conference gets the system for free, as well as our contact system for blocking and defeating blocks. But going back to the five fights, and you were part of our Film the Friday series where we just, you know, broke down your film and looked at one aspect of it. I think the clarity behind it, as you start to to be able to break it down. And you said something very important, the language that's installed. And I think that's what's best and really what makes a system is that you have language that hooks all this together in a way that becomes simple to see, here's the breakdown, and then know here's the fix.
Totally. I think there has to be a level of disciplinary literacy within your program and everything you're doing. You have to be, you know, if I'm learning Spanish, I've got to be able to learn the language and speak the language to effectively communicate it. And there's no difference in football. And the ability for everybody within a program to be able to say, oh, your tracking's off. You know, you're not preparing your feet. Or if it's a takeaway, you know, that's a dirty recovery opportunity for us. So those things, when a kid can come off the sideline and communicate that to you, or you can communicate him in those 30 seconds that you have to do it before they got to get back out there, that's the tactical advantage. Because, you know, if we can't communicate adjustments, if we can't communicate effectively, we can't expect our kids to be successful on the field. And that's probably the most important thing. I think people poo-poo like a PJ Fleck, who's created a vocabulary, a book that his program will use. And I think it's so important to have everybody speaking the same language. And it's really, really hard to do because everybody has the way that they did things. And for everybody to buy into what you want, it's how we're going to call things. That's a lot of conversation and people have to be able to be willing to do that. But it completely is so efficient and effective.
Definitely. And really that's what this is all about, really understanding yourself and being able then to communicate that to your players. And, you know, the fun part about this part of the season isn't just going out and learning from other people. It's learning about yourself and where you need to go from here and you know, being able to evolve. I will say, I was thinking about this, you know, it is clinic season. And I can remember, you know, back when I was a high school head coach, it was almost like, you know, you talked about the interrogation part of this. We were almost like detectives as well, because we'd end up at the same clinics as all of our opponents. And, you know, the online learning, this is back in the early 2000s, was not as prevalent as it was today. So you had your clinics and then, you know, you might hear that they're going to this school or that school. You know, we would pay attention to that, because as I was thinking about your different, you know, schemes that you're looking at, you know, what if I find out opponent is, you know, man, they've spent a lot of time on option this year, they're all going to the option clinics and they're all in those rooms, like, I'm taking note of that, right? I mean, it's all recon. I mean, we used to do it all the time. And I guess you can follow somebody on Twitter and find out, you know, what everybody likes to tweet about where they're at, right? Oh, I had a great day at Minnesota today. Oh, really? You're at Minnesota. Wonder what you're learning there. And I mean, it's all part of the game. It's the fun part. Like I said, learning about yourself, learning about your opponent, being able to go out and learn from others at this time of the year. And I think really that's the system you've set up here for your program.
Yeah. It's funny you say that, because my defensive coordinator, who is just he's just a fantastic football mind, he definitely looks at my Twitter account. And if I posted something that he thinks is not advantageous to us or tipping our hand, and if something like a podcast like this, I'm sure he'll make sure that we're not giving away too many secrets. So that's funny you said that.
Well, I do appreciate you sharing your system today, and I don't think you gave away any secrets.
No.
I think it's just a good way to think about this and, you know, organize your season. I appreciate, and we'll put the links to the articles, which again are very in detail and give your checklist of different things. I would say definitely check out our show notes. There's a lot of related content from this one, whether that be other podcast articles. I know Zach Dunn did a great article on the middle eight, but make sure you're always checking out our show notes as well. So Rob, again, I appreciate all you do. For our listeners, what's the best way to connect?
On Twitter would be the best way. It's at Robert Pomazak, P as in Paul, O-M-A-Z-A-K. And then all of my contact information is at my Twitter handle. And if they want anything that we do, I'll be happy to share, because, you know, what USA Football allows is for us to network. And I've learned so much from the coaches you've had on, Keith, that, you know, we're an open book. So I'd be happy to help out in any way I can. And thank you for the opportunity that you've given me to share our program.
Definitely. And I'm sure we'll catch up again this offseason.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.